Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Yeah, good afternoon, church. You guys may have your seat, man, but man, you guys look amazing at the 5 p.m. service. Well, I think I speak for both Matt and myself when I say that it's an absolute privilege and honor to be encouraging us in God's word this afternoon. And before I begin, I'd just like to start out by giving honor where honor is due. And I'd like to honor both Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace in their absence. And it's really such an honor and a privilege to be encouraging us. And I think I speak for both Matt and myself when I say this is a platform that we don't take lightly. And so as a church, we're starting a new series called Imperfect. And this series is all about how God loves using imperfect people to do significant things. And how many of you guys know that we're all imperfect and we all need a little bit of help? I mean, I'll be the first person to put up my hand. I mean, it doesn't get worse than this light-skinned caramel brother from Reicha Park. Yet the significant and amazing thing about the God we serve is that he loves using imperfect people. I mean, think of all the ordinary people through the Bible who God used to do significant and amazing things. I mean, Noah got drunk, Abraham was too old, Jacob was a liar, David had an affair, Moses was a murderer, yet all of these people remind us that God can do extraordinary things through ordinary people. And so I pray this afternoon that our hearts are open and ready to receive, because I genuinely believe that God is in the business of changing hearts. Shall we pray, church? Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word that you have tonight, Father God. I pray, Lord, for every single heart, Father, to be open, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, for the words that I have to speak this afternoon, Lord. I pray that you would just speak through me, Father God, and that I would just be a vessel for you, Father, this afternoon, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So I remember the first time that I ever felt inadequate to do something. And it was during my grade 11 year at school. And throughout my whole schooling career, I was often referred to as the church boy. And I remember one day in particular when the principal of our school had asked me to meet her in her office. And on that day in particular, she had asked me to address the entire school at an assembly. And I remember thinking to myself as she asked me, like, you want me to do what? Like, come again, please. Like, for me, her asking me to do that literally felt like I was being asked to fill in for Billy Graham at one of his crusades. Like, the mere thought of me speaking in front of my peers, let alone the entire school, made my palms sweat. It made my heart race. I mean, for me, the thing that you should know about me is at that stage in my life, I felt that I was a very timid boy. I felt that I was very awkward in front of others. I had never aspired to speak in front of like large crowds. And now the principal of our school wants me to address the entire school at an assembly. And I remember thinking to myself, like, surely the principal of our school doesn't want some kid from Reicha Park addressing her entire school. Like, does she know what we do in Reicha Park? Like, that's literally like what was going through my mind. Nonetheless, a few weeks later, I found myself standing up in front of the entire school and sharing with them on a topic of prayer. And as I began sharing with them, I began to realize that God didn't remove any of my inadequacies, nor did God remove any of my imperfections. Instead, God began to work in my weakness. And see, church, God doesn't want to remove our inadequacies, nor does God want to remove our imperfections. Instead, God wants to use this as an avenue to display his glory and display his power. And Rick Warren once said, God always uses imperfect people in imperfect situations to accomplish his perfect will. Have you ever thought about the fact that perhaps the imperfections and weaknesses in our lives may actually cause us to draw closer to God by forcing us to depend on him? Perhaps rather than seeing the imperfections in our lives as something that disqualifies us of God's love or disqualifies the calling that God has on our lives, perhaps we need to see that our imperfections serve a purpose in making us realize how much we need God. And I love what 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says. And it says this, But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. See, God gives us our imperfections as a means of drawing us closer to God so that we can seek his strength, seek his power, but more importantly, so that we can understand his character as a loving and merciful God. And this evening, I want to encourage us on the topic of being unqualified. And I want us to look at the story of Moses, and I want us to see how Moses' imperfections in his life prepared him for the calling and the purpose that God had for his life. And so just to give us a little bit of insight into the story of Moses, is here is a young man who is raised as royalty in one of the world's most powerful and prosperous nations. However, Moses soon murders a man and flees the consequences of his actions. And so for 40 years, Moses finds himself hiding out in the Midian protection program, thinking that he's escaped his checkered past. But God had other plans for him. And so out of a burning bush, God calls Moses to lead his people. And I love what Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 to 11, and it says this. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, and listen to it, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And the first point that I want to make for us this afternoon is that our excuses often keep us from fulfilling God's purposes. You know, in that statement and in that request, God was essentially saying to Moses, go back home, Moses. Go back to the place where you came from. Go back to the place where you have no honor, where you have no esteem, to do my work. Go back to the place where you're not wanted. And so in that moment, God calls Moses to deliver the people of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but in my opinion, just based on verse 11, I think Moses was probably the king of making excuses. Like, I have no doubt that if Moses went with me to school, he'd probably be able to convince our teachers not to give us any homework, any projects, any tests for that entire week. Like, I'm telling you, that's how good Moses was at making excuses. And so God calls Moses to deliver the people of Israel, but Moses chooses to make excuses as to why he can't go. In actual fact, Moses gave God five excuses or five objections as to why he couldn't do what God was asking him to do. And this evening, I'd like to give you some of those excuses, and maybe you can relate to them. The first reason why Moses felt he couldn't do what God was asking him to do was, well, he said, well, who am I to go? That was his first excuse. His second excuse was, well, who are you that is sending me? His third excuse was, the people won't believe. His fourth excuse was, I simply don't have the skill. And his fifth and final excuse, which is the cream of the crop and the one that all of us tend to use, was, please send someone else. And so essentially, Moses was saying to God, like, God, you've got the wrong person and I'm not going. And maybe there's some of us here tonight and God has called us to something. Perhaps he's called you to make a difference in your community. Perhaps he's called you to make a difference in your workplace. Perhaps he's called you to volunteer at church or volunteer at Shine. But maybe just like Moses, you've chosen to make excuses as to why you can't go. Maybe you feel like Moses did. Maybe you feel like you just don't have the skill, or you just don't have the time, or you just don't have the willpower. But can I encourage us today, church, that the same God who created you, you were created for a divine purpose. And the same God who called you will walk with you, strengthen you, and uphold you with his victorious right hand. And I love what Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, and it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. You know, the key to you and I fulfilling what God has called us to do is dependent on the fact of whether or not we trust God with what we have. You know, if any of us are making excuses as to why God can't use us, can I encourage you that would you trust God that in your weakness, in our weakness, that God's strength and glory would be revealed? The second point that I want to make for us this evening is that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And Stacy Edwards once said, don't wait until you feel qualified to do what God is calling you to do. You know, I remember a time in my life when I had applied to be the president of the grade 12 in my final year of school. And I remember that God had given me vision since the age of 14 that I would be a prefect at Sunwood Park High School and that I would help the school combat things like drug abuse and smoking on premises and all sorts of things. And I vividly remember going through the election process and thinking to myself that I simply don't have what it takes to lead. I simply don't have what it takes to help the school in the areas that it desperately needs help. And I remember going through the election process and receiving all sorts of comments, not just from my friends, but from teachers as well. And in that moment, I began to look at my own imperfections and what I couldn't do. And I think so often in life, when so many of us look at our imperfections in life, it often leaves us feeling unqualified or inadequate to do what God is calling us to do. I think maybe even in some cases, it often prevents us from stepping out and fulfilling what God has called us to do. And you might be sitting here and saying, well, Tarah, what is it that God has called us to do? Well, it's very simple, church. God has called us to change our world. Not to change the world, but to change our world. To be salt and light. To shine a light in dark places. To represent Jesus with every single opportunity that we get. That's our calling, church. And I love what Exodus 4 verse 10 says. It says, but Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. And so immediately from this scripture, we see that Moses felt inadequate to do what God was calling him to do. You know, for Moses, his speech impediment and the fact that he couldn't speak well in front of others was the thing that made him feel unworthy of God's calling on his life. You know, what's the imperfection in your life, church, that you feel disqualifies you from being a vessel for God? Is it perhaps the dysfunctional family that you come from? Is it perhaps the pattern of sin that you continue to struggle with? Is it perhaps the thought of raising your kids that leaves you feeling out of your depths? Is it perhaps the issues that you have in your marriage? Can I encourage us, church, that the God we serve is not looking for those who are perfect. He's not looking for those who have it all together. He's not looking for those who are qualified. Instead, the God we serve is looking for those who would be obedient to the calling of God on their lives. The God we serve, church, is looking for those who would just simply have eyes to see that there's a need in their church and a need in their community. He's looking for those who would avail themselves to the work of Christ. Church, what I want us to realize is that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. That's the amazing and significant thing about the God we serve, is that he's not waiting for you to reach some stage of perfection. Instead, he's waiting for you to just say, well, God, here I am, Lord. Would you use me? And see, maybe you're thinking to yourself and you're wondering, well, Tarah, what does that look like? I love what you're saying, but what does that look like? It looks like joining a serving team on a Sunday and helping move people towards Jesus. It looks like giving up an hour of your time to help grade 2 pupils to read and write. It looks like giving up of your resources to invest in the next generation. See, the reason God used Moses was not because Moses was perfect and because Moses had it all together. The reason God used Moses was because Moses was obedient to the calling of God on his lives. Because Moses availed himself to the work of Christ and said, well, Lord, here I am. Use me. And can I encourage us this afternoon, church? Let's be a church that has eyes to see where there's a need. And let's be a church that avails ourselves to the work of Christ and says, well, Lord, here I am. Would you use me? If you need me to serve there, if you need me to go there, if you need me to help out there, well, then, Lord, here I am, Lord. Would you use me to be a vessel for your work? And my third and final point for us this evening is that God often asks us to lay down what's in our hands. And Exodus 4 verse 13 says, Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, well, what's that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And so Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. You know, Moses had many doubts and many fears. In fact, he made tons of excuses. But the one thing that God asked Moses was, What's that in your hand? And the one thing that Moses had in his hand was a staff. And I'm pretty sure that when Moses looked at this staff, he probably thought to himself, well, what can I do with this? I mean, it's just a staff. It's a dead thing. It doesn't seem of much value. And maybe there's some of you here today and you look at what's in your hand and you often feel, well, God, I don't have much in my hand. All that I have in my hand is a staff. I don't know what you can do with this. I don't know of how much value this can be to you. But the minute Moses began to lay before God what was in his hand, the staff turned into a snake. The dead thing became a living thing. In fact, the dead thing became a dangerous thing. It became such a dangerous thing that Moses ran from it. And church, I think before you and I ever discover the purpose that God has created us for, there's got to be some things in our lives that we're willing to just lay down before God. There's got to be some things in our hands that we're holding that we've got to be willing to lay down before God. We've got to be willing to lay down our income. We've got to be willing to lay down our status. We've got to be willing to lay down our perfection. We've got to be willing to lay down our self-pursuits before God. And I love what P.K. Barnard once said. P.K. Barnard said, before we find our passion and calling, we must be willing to lay down our influence and recognition. You know, the recognition of man pales in comparison to what God has called us to do. You know, when God gives you a vision for your life, it often reveals the power that God has in store for you. It often reveals the promises that God has for your life. And it often reveals the plan that God has for your life. You know, I'm pretty sure that each and every single one of us have dreams for our own life. And I'm pretty sure that Moses had dreams of his own life. But you know, I wonder to myself, if Moses ever dreamt that one day he would change the world. I wonder if Moses ever dreamt that with this rod, which in actual fact was the last time in Scripture that it was referred to as Moses' rod, but now as the rod of God, that this rod would now humble and bring to its knees one of the greatest nations in its world. I wonder if Moses ever dreamt to himself that with this rod, he would one day stand over the Red Sea and part the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross over. I wonder if Moses ever dreamt that with this rod, he would one day whack a rock and water would spew out of it. I wonder if Moses ever dreamt in his wildest dreams that one day he would feed thousands of people in the desert. You know, I think to myself, church, I don't think Moses ever recognized the power that would be revealed or the power that would be unleashed in his life the minute he began to lay down before God what was in his hand. You know, the key for Moses and the key to Moses being so significant and being a vessel for God was his obedience in laying down what was in his hand. You know, I think for us, church, the key difference or the key to a significant life for us is if we choose to lay down before God what's in our hand. You might be thinking to yourself, well, it doesn't seem like much, Tyrell. It doesn't seem like I have much to give. It doesn't seem like there's a lot that God can do. I'm pretty sure Moses might have thought to himself, well, God, what am I going to do with this staff? Am I going to hook the people as they, like, get out of order? Like, I'm pretty sure that's what Moses was thinking. But you know, church, the minute you and I begin to lay before God what's in our hands, that's when God begins to take our gift. That's when God begins to bless our gift. That's when God's power is unleashed through our lives because we're choosing to live a life where we sacrifice what's in our hand. So can I encourage us this afternoon, church? Would you choose whatever's in your hand, no matter how small, no matter how big it might be, would you choose to just lay it before God? And would you see what God can do when you choose to lay before God what's in your hand? Can I pray for us real quick, church? Father God, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every single person. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you always choose, Father God, to use imperfect people. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you're not waiting for us to reach some stage of perfection. Lord, you're not waiting for us to have it all together, Father God, and to be whole. But Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that when we as people choose, Father God, to be obedient to your call, Father God, and lay down what we have in our hand, Father God, that you do amazing things through our lives, Lord Jesus. And so I pray for each and every single person, Father. I pray that you would speak into their heart, that, Lord, they can still be a vessel for you. Father, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, Lord Jesus, you can still use them and you can still bring your glory through their lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, church, would you help me welcome to the stage none other than Matthew Tupper as he encourages us further this evening.
Good afternoon, church. Woo! That was some power right there. You guys can sit down. That was some power. Come on. Like this, that rod. It's like, you know. Church, I'd like to just echo Tyrell's honor for Pastor Byron and Pastor Candice in their absence. You know, it really is not a platform we take lightly. And we are so thankful and privileged and honored to be here today. So, Tyrell has introduced the thought that Moses was imperfect, yet God was still able to use him in his imperfections. Now, what does that look like for us practically? And what does that look like for us? You know, we come to understand that we are all imperfect. We all have our flaws. But how does God use us and God use our imperfections and our flaws to do great things? There was one common thing we see with Moses, one common thing that he did that allowed God to use him in his imperfections. One thing that we can apply to our lives that God can, that allows God to use us in our imperfections. And that one common thing is obedience. Throughout his life, we see Moses obey God's commands time after time. And it all started in Exodus 3 verse 4 when Moses replied to God and said, "Here I am." And although Moses was imperfect, God still used him to do great things because of his obedience. So today I'd like to share three things that Moses did and three things that we can do that will allow God to use us in our imperfections. So the first one is obedience in the direction God has given. We see Moses there by the burning bush and God speaking to Moses and giving him his first directions and where to go. And in Exodus 3 verse 10, it says, "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." Now we know full well, Charles mentioned that Moses was the king of excuses. He made excuse after excuse after excuse. Eventually, he obeys God. And he says, "Okay, I'm going to go. You know, I'm going to go in your direction." And we see from him saying that he's going to go, great things start to happen. So my question is, what direction has God given us in our lives that we can't see through because we keep making excuses? In Exodus 4, we see God saying to Moses, "Okay, I'm going to give you everything you need. You know, I'm this is who I am. I'm going to give you everything you need. I've got your back. I'm going to lead you, guide you. You know, don't worry. You know, just go." And Moses is still like, "But yeah, me speech, no, ain't gonna work. Sorry." Excuse after excuse after excuse, and Moses is still like, not gonna happen. God at this time, he's like, "Fine." You know, the Bible even says God is angry, so you can imagine it's like, "Fine. I'll send Aaron then, but you're still going." So Moses keeps making excuses, and all this really does is hold Moses back from seeing through the direction that God had given him. It was only until Moses obeyed God's direction that he started to see great things happen. So what direction has God given us in our lives that we can't see through because we keep making excuses? If you're unaware, like, if you're probably sitting there thinking, like, well, what does that direction look like? What might that direction actually, like, how do I know it's the direction from God? Well, I would encourage you that that direction will look like pointing towards Jesus. You know, always be Christ-centered. The direction that God gives us will always be pointing us to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. For Moses, it was always for God's glory, and it's no different today. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom above everything else. So what direction has God given us in our lives we can't see through because we're making excuses? Maybe it's in the direction of your serving. Maybe God's saying, hey, I want you to start serving. And you're just like, well, I just don't have the time. Or maybe it's in the direction of giving. God's saying, hey, I want you to start giving. Or how about I want you to start giving a bit more? And you're just like, yeah, but the budget, it's tight, you know, like, Or how about in the direction of just God saying, hey, I want to spend more time with you. I just want to be with you more. And you're like, ah, but busy, you know, like, wake up, I'm busy, go to sleep, busy. It's just busy. These are just three excuses that we tend to make. And it's holding us back from seeing through the direction that God has given us. You know, we can see amazing things happen. We can see great things happen if we just obey the direction that God has given us. We can see more people move towards Jesus in our serving areas. We can see church being built like never before with our finances. People being reached like never before through our finances. We can see our own lives being changed and God taking us to a place that he wants us to be if we just spend more time with him. Church, I want to encourage us. We might be imperfect, but God can use us to do great things if we just obey the direction that he's given us. Second thought is obedience towards the leaders God has placed in our lives. Every single one of us have been given a person or maybe some people in our lives that are able to give us wisdom, that they are able to give us advice. They're people with more wisdom that are able to help us and lead us and guide us to better ourselves. Maybe sometimes just some advice when we need it. Or maybe it's sometimes when we're just outright flopping, right? When you just, you know, have those days. You're like, you know when you were a kid, right? And you know, I never did this, obviously. I never did this. Like, or maybe you have kids and you have a nice brow on a Saturday and it's all chill, but then all of a sudden you finish eating and the kid's like, or maybe you, when you were a kid, because I never did this, you know, you go and play with a fire and you start the fire up more and you go and you're like, okay, I'm going to build a fire. And then your parents are like, no, don't play with fire. And you're like, yeah, no, I'm going to still play with the fire. And you play, and then all of a sudden you get burnt. Yeah, that's just like outright flopping. Like, that's just, don't flop like that. Or even how about when you go and see that jacket in the mall, right? It's like, there's a nice jacket there. And you're like, oof, I want that jacket. But you know, like, there's a war going on inside your mind. You're like, you know, if you buy that jacket, you ain't getting to work for the rest of the month because there's no petrol. But that jacket, right? Like, an hour later, you're in the mirror, like, I'm taking a picture at home, like, you know, put the jacket in. Outright flopping. Like, sometimes we just need people to guide us in the right direction, you know? For Moses, that was Jethro, his father-in-law. And Moses at this point was just trying to do everything himself. He's just like trying to carry everything and trying to lead Israel by himself, you know, like give direction to every person. And Jethro's like, dude, like you're wearing yourself out. You're wearing the Israelis out. And you know what? You're just tiring me out watching this. Like really, really. Like, let's get a grip. Here's what to do. He gives him advice. And you know what? Moses obeys it. In Exodus 18 verse 24, it says, Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. Who have we got in our lives to give us sound advice? And are we listening to them and are we following their suggestions? God placed Jethro in Moses' life to help him become a better leader, to help him lead the people of Israel better. God has placed people in our lives to help better us. And it's not for selfish reasons either. It's to help us, to help our imperfections so that we can get better, so that we can help people around us. God has placed these people in our lives. Who is in your life that can give you sound advice? And are you listening to them? And are we taking their suggestions? I love cricket. I've played cricket my whole life since I can remember. And it was about, I was about 9, 10, around there. I was playing for my first club. And I'll never forget, I've always wanted to be a fast bowler. You know, like Sean Pollock, he's the guy, you know, like I love Sean Pollock, you know, Mackay Antini, Dale Steyn. You know, these fast bowlers, like, oh man, I was aspiring to be them. And I'll never forget, first club, bowling in the net very early in my club career, if you want to call it a career. That didn't, yeah, last song. Anyway, so we're bowling in the nets, and I'm trying to bowl as fast as possible. I'm taking, like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, you know, I'm gonna run the field to bowl the ball. But I'm bowling everywhere. Like, I'm bowling. Oh man, I was probably hitting heads as well while I was bowling. It was terrible. And my coach called me aside and he said, "Matt, let's slow you down quick. Yeah, shorten your run up, and let's work on line and length." He gave me some really, really good advice. And it changed everything. Because I was able to listen to it. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, he said, we'll work on pace. You know, we'll get there. It never got there. But, you know, we worked on line and length. And, you know, I'll never forget that. Because it changed the whole time I played cricket. I worked on it. And I became known in amongst my friends and amongst the teams, the guy who would bowl the same line every time. I was able to help my team out when the captain needed me to just keep runs down for the team, you know, just to keep it down or maybe take a wicket. I could bowl a specific place on the pitch where he'd asked to bowl it because I'd practiced that. Because it all started when the coach gave me advice and I was able to listen to that and take his suggestion. Who have we got in our lives that can give us sound advice? And are we listening to them and following their suggestions? We are imperfect, but God has placed amazing people in our lives. And we are so blessed. We've got people like Pastor Byron, Pastor Candace, Pastor Steve, Pastor Kathy. We've got our life group leaders, our serving team leaders. Maybe it's coaches, teachers, parents, godparents, aunts, uncles. There are people in our lives around us that have more wisdom that can give us sound advice. And I want to encourage you, church, you know, let's not just take advice from anyone. You know, let's make sure that the advice that we get from people are always pointing towards Jesus, always Christ-centered, always pointing us to be with him, become like him, do what Jesus did. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12 to 13 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peacefully with each other." I want to encourage us, church, let's be obedient to the people that and the leaders that God has placed in our lives, because that's one way God will use us to do great works in our imperfections. The third one, my third thought is obedience with the resource God has placed in our hands. Moses had a rod, he had a staff. And this is something that God placed in his hands and he was able to do great things with it. It was the resource that God had given him. And he did great miracles. In Exodus 14 verse 16, it says that God says to Moses, "Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground." In verse 21, we see him obey God in that. And we see the Israelites walking through on dry ground. What resource has God given us that we're able to use? Maybe it's a talent, maybe it's a gifting, maybe it's a physical resource. Thanks, Manny. Maybe it's a physical resource, financially, or maybe it's material goods that you're able to use in different areas. God has given us different resources that we are able to use. Let's be obedient in that and be obedient with the resource that God has placed in our hands. For Moses, it was a staff, and things like the sea parting and striking a rock, things like that happened. For us, maybe it's the gift of techie or media. You're good with media. Maybe you can play an instrument. You can sing. Come and join the worship team. Got you here. Come on. Thank you, Josh. Come on. Yes, worship team, come on. Or maybe, you know, maybe there's a physical resource, financial resource, and you're able to help sponsor a child next week at Shine's Sponsor a Child program. Or maybe you're gifted with your hands. You work with your hands, you're gifting with that, and you've got physical resources that you're able to put to use. I want to encourage you to plug in to Serve the City program. Maybe you're saying, hey, listen, I don't have any of those. I guarantee you, God has given you something. And even if it's as simple as going to the cafe and buying a Nutrigo pack, seven rand. And that way you can use your resource to help underprivileged people in our area eat. What resources God placed in our hands that we are able to use? If we're just obedient with the resource that God has placed in our hands, we can do great things around us, even in our imperfections. So let me quickly recap for us today. We've learned that Moses was imperfect. We've learned that God can do great things in our imperfections. And Tyrell, he showed us how our excuses often keep us from fulfilling God's purposes. But God qualifies the call. And God often asks us to lay down what's in our hands. And we learned that God can use us in our imperfections if we are just obedient to God. And obedience in the direction that God has given us. Obedience towards the leaders God has placed in our lives. And obedience with the resource God has placed in our hands. You know, Gladys Elwood, she was a missionary. Like back in the day. And she felt the call to go to China. But before she could do that, they told her that she needs to go to missionary school and she needs to do training in that. And she did. She went there. She obeyed her leaders and she was like, okay, I'm going to do this. But she came back and they said, no, she failed and she was just disqualified to do it. But this didn't derail her passion. She kept on working. She saved money. She knew the opportunity would come. And it did. Eventually in the 1930s, an opportunity arose for her to go to China. So she left her home in England. She went to China and she opened an orphanage. And there she brought in starving and wandering children from the streets. Eventually the Japanese invaded China and she had to flee. Her and one assistant for 12 days fled through the mountains to free China. You know, through the extreme difficulty and danger, she devoted her life to becoming a mother to each and every one of those orphans. There were over 100 orphans that she led to free China. Over 100. Years later, she was publicly honored and she explained her amazing work like this. I did not choose this. I was led into it by God. At the end of her life, Gladys wrote the following about herself. My heart is full of praise that one so insignificant, uneducated, and ordinary in every way could be used to his glory for the blessing of his people in poor and persecuted China. Gladys thought of herself as insignificant, uneducated, and ordinary. Yes, she was imperfect. But God still used her to do great works because of her obedience to God's call to China. God can still use our imperfections. God can still use our imperfections. He can still use us to do great things in our imperfections if we just obey Him. And it all starts with us saying, here I am. Let's pray today. You know, out of these three points, out of these three thoughts, notice how God has given. God gives us direction. God gives us the leaders. God gives us resource, talent, and gifting. And today I want to mention something else that God has given us. And that's the gift of salvation. See, we were made perfect and good in the eyes of our Creator, but then sin entered in. It entered into the picture and separated us from God, making us imperfect. But God knew what to do. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever may believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. while we were still imperfect, while we were still broken people, Jesus Christ died for us because he loves us too much to keep us in our imperfect states. Jesus died for our imperfect selves so that we can have purpose and direction. And all we have to do is respond to Jesus today. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So respond in obedience today. Just like Moses when he said, "Here I am." If that's you today, if you're saying, "Hey, I want purpose and direction in my life. Hey, I want my imperfection to be made new in Jesus Christ today." I'm gonna ask you to respond by raising your hands. I'm gonna count to three just now, and I want you to respond by raising your hands. And this is not to embarrass you. This is not to call you out. I just wanna see you and identify you. If that's you today, if you're saying, "I want my imperfections to be made new. I want purpose and direction in my life. I want Jesus to come and live in my heart." I want you to respond in 1, 2, 3. Thank you so much. I see those hands at the back. Thank you so much. I see that hand there at the back. Thank you so much. If that's you today, thank you so much. I see your hand there at the back. If that's you today, if you're saying, "I want to have my imperfections made new. I want to be new in Jesus. I want purpose and directions." Just raise your hands. Thank you so much. Church, let's be the church together right now, and let's lift our voices together and pray for these people who have responded. Say after me, "Jesus, today I say, here I am. Please come and live in my heart. Make my imperfections new. Give me purpose and direction. I accept and thank you for your promise of salvation. In Jesus' name." And everybody said, "Amen."
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.